Father, I pray tonight that you would just move in our hearts. We hear this teaching about healing, and we believe that you are a God who heals and works miraculously, Lord, and we want to be involved in that, even in this day, Lord. We want to see you move in our lives and in our community. We want to see Jesus exalted. We want people to be talking around town about, hey, did you hear what Jesus did? We want you to be lifted up, Lord. So I just pray you'd help us to have boldness to go forth and to proclaim your word and to be willing to pray for people. And Lord, you would move and your hand would stretch forth and heal. I pray now, Lord, as we look into your word in this book of Galatians, that you would just give us a sense of the wonders of God, the beauty of your great plan. And help us to be so grateful for the grace that has been given to us through Jesus Christ. It's in his name I pray. Amen. We're in Galatians chapter 3 tonight. I want to just pick up the last part of chapter 2 because it kind of ties in a little bit with the very first part of Galatians 3. So I'm in chapter 2, verse 19. Through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live for God. Remember that we died to the law for a reason, and that is that we might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Christ lives in me. Or I no longer live. Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So when you think about your Christian life, you need to understand it as a being set free from sin for the purpose of living unto God. You know, there is a purpose behind our salvation. And, you know, Paul the Apostle really expresses it here better than anybody I've ever heard. He says, I'm crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And wouldn't that be great if that was our testimony? That I truly died, I laid my life down with Christ, and the life I'm living today, I'm living because of Jesus. Because, see, one of the problems that was having with people who were trying to put the Galatians back under the law is they felt like, you know, if there's no law, if there are no rules, so to speak, to live by, people will become evil. They'll just let sin run rampant. And he's saying, no, when we've been set free from the law, Christ now lives in me. And I'm living a different life. I'm living with the power of his Spirit. I'm living with, you know, Christ in me. I mean, he's not going to lead us into those kinds of things. And so to be free from the law is to be free to live in the Spirit. It's really the message here. It's the message even in the book of Romans. And so to me, if we can move the shackle of the law off of people and let them experience the true freedom and grace that's in Jesus Christ, people will live a godly life because Christ is living in them. And so Paul sets himself up here as an example of that. And then he says in verse 21, I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness could be gained through the law, then Christ died for nothing. And that's something you got to always remember, that if we could somehow attain righteousness by keeping the law, then there would be no reason for Jesus to come and die. The Lord would have said, hey, you're able, you're capable enough, you keep the law. But it was impossible. The law was never designed for that. And so Jesus came and died in our place. But if I could gain righteousness some other way, then his death was for no reason. So let's look at now Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. And so this idea of being foolish, it's a word that means unintelligent. By implication, sensual. They were looking at things just from a natural standpoint. They lost their spiritual insight, so to speak. And then the word bewitched means to be fascinated by false representation. And so here were these Judaizers coming in, basically deceiving the people, but they were being bewitched. They were being fascinated with things that weren't true. And it was drawing their heart away. Like Rhea was saying, they were receiving the imprint of a wrong doctrine. It was beginning to form their thinking and mold their ideas. And Paul was saying, hey, you guys are heading down a wrong path here. And so you've been bewitched. And then he says, I want you to know that Jesus Christ has been clearly portrayed as crucified. And he just said in chapter 2, verse 21, that if righteousness could come from another means, there was no reason for Christ to die. And you know he died. And so I just shared a few places here in Acts 13, and I'm not going to read them, but it kind of shows you the outline or the idea of what kind of gospel did Paul preach in the Galatian region. You can see that he talked about his death. He talked about the cross. He talked about his burial in a tomb. He talked about the resurrection. It's the same message that we preach today, isn't it? That was the gospel they heard. And so even though these people didn't physically see Jesus crucified, he has been clearly portrayed to you people as one who was crucified. Jesus died on the cross, and God would never have sent him. He would never have sent him to die on the cross if he expected righteousness to come from the law. So again, he's trying to talk these people out of being imprinted by the law. And if Jesus came and died, it tells us this is God's means of righteousness. Next page. So I would like to learn one thing from you. So now he's appealing to their own salvation. Hey, Jenny, can you close that door right there? He says, I would like to learn one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? See, he goes back and says, remember the day you got saved? How'd that happen? How did you receive the Spirit? Was it by sacrificing this animal or keeping a Sabbath day or a new moon or, you know, certain festival? Is that how you got the Spirit? Or did you get the Spirit because somebody preached something, you heard a word, and you believed it? It was a belief, a faith that came into your life, and because of that, you received the Spirit. Which was it? Well, I mean, you know the answer to that, don't you? Okay. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? So you might want to draw a circle there, because really receiving the Spirit is what it means to be saved. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. This is what makes you a son of God. Later on, we're going to see this is what makes you a child of Abraham. And that has significance as well. But we receive the Spirit not by doing the works of the law. We receive the Spirit by believing what we heard. And then he says, are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? So he's saying, hey, you guys had a great beginning. You heard the message. You believed. And the Holy Spirit came and lived inside of you. He lives now inside of you. Just like Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Christ lives in me. And he's saying the same thing has happened to you. You heard the message. You believed what you heard. And the Holy Spirit came to live inside of you. Now, what makes you think that you will complete this walk by going back to the law? That's his argument here. God did such a huge change in your life when he came and lived inside of you. Why do you think you can take a step backward and go back into a law to bring complete maturity to your Christian life? You have to continue to walk in the Spirit to allow that to happen. So he says, after beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Have you experienced so much in vain, if it really was in vain? And so again I ask, does God give you His Spirit? and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by your believing what you heard? And who knows the answer to that? It's by believing what we hear, isn't it? That's why even this teaching that Rhea is doing, we're hearing the word of God, we're believing what we hear. He said here, not only does God give us his spirit, but he works miracles among you by the things that you hear, by believing the things that you hear. That's why it's important that when you go out and witness to people, you share the word of God. It's the word of God that's going to bring life. It's the word of God that's going to bring conviction. It's his word that doesn't return void. And so we are out there simply speaking the word of God. And if people hear it, if they hear it and they believe, they'll be saved. If they hear it and they believe, faith may be stirred in their heart to be healed. Remember the story where Paul was preaching? He said he saw the lame man sitting there in front of him. And it says, as he was preaching the word, he perceived that this man had faith to be healed. Something happened because he was hearing the word of God that was being preached. And faith stirred in this man's heart. And Paul said, stand up on your feet. The man was healed. But it's through the preaching of God's word that people can believe and truly receive something from God. So look at the notes there. The works of the law versus believing what you heard. That's what he's drawing the contrast here. How did you receive the Spirit? Was it by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? I want you to read with me there in Romans 10, because it's the same way people believe today. Same as it happened to those people in the Galatian region. It happens the same today. What does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth. It is in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. See, what happens is when a person hears that message and if in their heart they believe, the Bible says they'll be saved and justified. That God does something in terms of their guilt. He said it's gone. It's wiped away. Those who are in Christ are a new creation. How does that happen? It happens because somebody speaks the word. And faith is birthed in a person's heart. And they believe. And God does this miraculous change. It's a beautiful thing. It really has nothing to do with how eloquent we are, or how charismatic we may feel we are, or that we have all the great illustrations, or we, you know what I mean? It's speaking the word of God and letting the Holy Spirit do the work in the heart of that person over there. You begin in the Spirit, you'll be completed in the Spirit. And so he says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes, anyone. And so he's talking here to the Gentiles who have become Christian. He's saying anyone who believes. It's not a matter of going back under the law. It's anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile. There is no difference in the eyes of the Lord. In him will never be put to shame. There's no difference in Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord over all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. What a great promise that is. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? And so Jesus said, I am sending you. Go into all the world and preach to all the nations. We have been sent. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. You don't like your feet? Just start preaching the gospel. You can take those shoes off and say, there's some beautiful looking feet right there. Some beautiful feet. I'll tell you what, the people who bring the gospel, people will love the feet that you walk on. That Jesus brought you to me to hear that message that stirred faith in my heart. And I've been justified because you walked over to me and you told me about Jesus. Those are some beautiful feet. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our message? And consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. Where do I get faith, Lord? Hearing the message. See, I'm not fasting for faith. I'm not trying to crank it up somehow. Hearing the message. That's where faith comes from. Hear the message. God's word brings faith. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. And so I just encourage you who are involved in evangelism, just go preach the word. Preach the good news of Jesus Christ. It's a message that will bring faith, and if people believe and they respond, they'll be saved and justified. So Paul's saying this is how it happened to you, Galatians. You begin in the Spirit. You receive the Spirit because you believed what you heard. It's the same way people are saved today. We begin in the Spirit. We cannot finish in the flesh. I like that scripture in Philippians 1:6 there. It says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. And these two words that are underlined are the same words that Paul used when he said, beginning in the Spirit, are you now trying to finish in the flesh? And the point he's making here is, we began in the Spirit, let us complete in the Spirit. He began a good work in you, he will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. Let Christ have his way in your life. God is so faithful to work in us those things that are pleasing unto him. He is able to do exceeding abundantly all that we ask or think. Come to him and say, Lord, do that work in my life. I don't want to put myself under the law to try to become the person you want me to be. I want to walk in your Spirit. Lead me and guide me. I mean, Jesus has a way of just pinpointing areas of our life that he wants to deal with, doesn't he? It doesn't take much. He can just like, you can be sitting there listening to a worship song on the radio, and all of a sudden he's just dealing with some area of your life, and you say, oh Lord, thank you so much for that. But he is the one who began the work and he will continue it. And we don't have to be the Holy Spirit in everybody's life either. We like to do that sometimes, don't we? I think I'm going to be the Holy Spirit today. I think I know what you need. Now, I'm not saying the Lord won't use you in words of knowledge and things like that, but listen, Jesus is big enough to handle the changes in our lives, everybody's life. We preach the word. We encourage, and sometimes we reprove, and we rebuke, and we exhort, and all that is for that purpose. But let the Lord do his work in the people. Let's go to the next page, verse six up there. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. So now, you know, he's talking about these Judaizers who were in there trying to bring them under the law. These Judaizers would have said, Abraham is our father. We're sons of Abraham. I mean, there was a certain pride in being a child of Abraham. And Paul's saying, listen, Abraham came in the same way you did. He didn't get here by keeping the law. Abraham was there before the law ever came. The way Abraham became righteous is he heard something and he believed it. He heard a promise, and he believed. He said, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he's just trying to show these people, this Abraham that they all set up as the great father of this religion, he came the same way that you came. He heard, and he believed. So he says, so also Abraham believed God. It was credited. And so he says, understand then, that those who have faith are the children of Abraham. How many here have faith? Then you are a child of Abraham. You say, well, I don't really have any Jewish blood in me. You are a child of Abraham. If you have faith. Matthew 3:9. John the Baptist, do not think you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. That must have been a kind of a kick in the rear. I mean, thinking that I'm a child of Abraham, I have something to boast in. He says, hey, God can make children of Abraham out of these stones. Jesus said this. They said, Abraham is our father. Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, you would do what Abraham did. And, you know, he goes on to say in another place that you're really of your father, the devil, because if he's a liar from the beginning and you're a liar. See, because we do what our father does. The father of lies is Satan. You're a liar. He's your father. If you were Abraham's children, you would do what Abraham did. What did Abraham do? He believed. He believed God. God gave him a promise. It was an unbelievable promise, but he believed. When I was studying this thing, I kept thinking about this Abraham. I said, man, Lord, what a man he was. At that age, you know, hearing these unbelievable promises, and yet he just believed. I mean, I can see this. The Lord took him out that night, you know, up in the sky, and he looks up there, and all these, think about those millions of stars that we can't see anymore because there's so much light out here. And it was Jesus there with him. He says, Abraham, look. And I'll tell you, man, I think of that. I said, this guy believed God. That's why I'm here today. Because this man had enough, I don't know, just confidence in God. Look at all these stars, Abraham. This is what your seed will be like. And I'm one of them. And you are. And we are children of Abraham because we too heard and we believed. We heard and we believed. I still remember the day I heard the gospel. You know, we were sitting in the church, and I mean, tell you what, the guy was preaching. I can't even tell you what the guy preached about. All I can tell you is I sat there, and it's almost like I was naked in front of this whole group of people. It's like everything in my life was just laid out bare, and everything he said was just like slicing another, like an onion, peeling away my life. And it was the Word. You know, somehow faith got stirred in my heart. And he said at the end, he said, do you want to give your heart to Jesus? And I didn't know what he was even asking me to do. I just knew something happened in my heart. I wanted what he's offering. I don't know what it even means, but I want to do it. And I went up there and gave my heart to Jesus. My wife, Ruth, we gave our heart to Jesus that day. And we were saved and we were justified. And we became children of Abraham on that day because just like Abraham, we heard something and we believed it. And we were made righteous. You know, I grew up and I was living in sin. I had all kinds of sins in my life, but on that moment, I received the very righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, what am I going to do? Go out and try to become holy? I want to say, Lord, live through me. I am crucified with Christ. Live through me now. Live through me. Let me die and live through me. You know, why would I want to come back and try to somehow force myself into something that's so unnatural, Lord. Just change me. I give myself to you. And, you know, it's just been a journey. It's been I've known Jesus for 43 years now. And one day, I'm going to see him face to face. I'm going to be looking right in his eyes. I'm going to hug him. I'm going to say, thank you. for dying for me. And then I'm going to go see David, and I'm going to go see Abraham. I'm going to say, thanks for believing. Thank you for believing. I'm proud to be a child of Abraham, because we both entered into that relationship with God the same way. We heard something and we believed it. And now there's people out here in our world who need to hear that message. The only way, that's the only way that they can get in. The only way they can become righteous. The only way they can become righteous is if they hear something about him and believe. Look at what Paul writes in Romans 9 there. For not all who are descended from Israel are Israel. That's kind of a weird thing to say, isn't it? Not everybody who descended from Israel is really of Israel. Nor because they are his descendants are they all Abraham's children. On the contrary, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. In other words, it is not the children by physical descent who are God's children. Did you hear this? It is not the children by physical descent who are God's children, but it is the children of the promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring. So, notice there that God uses the word God's children and Abraham's offspring kind of interchangeably there. Because when I became a child of God and his spirit came to live inside of me, I became a child of Abraham because I believed, because I heard and I believed. And he heard and it was credited to him for righteousness. I heard and it was credited to me for righteousness. It's the only way I came in. And so he says, the children of the promise are the ones who are regarded as Abraham's offspring. What does he mean by that? Well, if you remember, the Lord made him a promise. You're going to have a son. You're going to have a son. And a number of years went by and no son came. So he thought, I think I'm going to go ahead and get a son a different way. And so you see there kind of a faith and works type situation, don't you? So his wife says, hey, why don't you just go in here to my handmaid? I mean, it's obvious we're kind of getting old. I mean, we were old when the Lord told us this. I mean, a number of years have gone by here. Why don't you, if you're going to have a son, you might as well go over here. And so he says, okay. So he goes over here, has Ishmael. And the Lord said, no, that's not the one I promised. I want you to know the one I promise is going to be my work. It has nothing to do with a human's ability. I'm giving you an impossible dream. I'm giving you an impossible promise here. So that what happens when that child comes forth, all you can say is, this is of God. That's the child of the promise. It has nothing to do with human effort. And so the children of Abraham, the children of promise, are those who have come to Christ by faith. There's no human effort here. There's no human effort. Nothing I can do. I heard and I believed. In verse 8, this is kind of interesting. It says, Scripture foresaw. It's almost like it personifies the Word of God, doesn't it? Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. Now think about that for a minute. Think about this for a minute. The Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. In other words, it was in God's plan and God's mind that the way the Gentiles would come into the kingdom is by faith. It's always been his plan. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, and he announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. Did you ever know that God actually preached the gospel to Abraham? That's what it says here. He announced the gospel, the good news, in advance to Abraham. And here's what the message was. All nations will be blessed through you. All nations See, when the Lord called Abraham, he was calling a people, and he did call the Jews to follow after him, and he did give them a law for a reason, but in the heart of God, it's always been all nations.